and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Michael Wallace. China has released three American citizens. The Biden administration says they were wrongly detained for years on espionage and drug charges. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
American John Lung, accused of espionage and held since 2021, and Kai Lee, accused of espionage. Lee's son has pressed for his father's release.
It's been so long.
No announcement of what America gave China in return, or any statement from China about why it agreed.
One of the released Americans had been facing a death sentence. New York City police say there are no specific threats to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, but security will still be tight tomorrow. Today, thousands were on hand to watch crews inflate the balloons.
I like the balloons up in the sky because you can see it going very high, and it makes you want, like, to touch one.
There are six new balloons this year, including Minnie Mouse. Nearly 3 million people took to the skies today to get to their Thanksgiving feasts.
Snow in Denver delayed hundreds of flights, while air traffic control staffing issues again caused delays at Newark Liberty Airport. But airlines have managed to keep cancellations low.
We left way early, and we got here and we checked in. It was super easy, so we were very surprised.
CBS's Dina Demetrius. The weekend weather could complicate the trip home for some. Airports and roads are expected to be busy Sunday and again on Monday. Maybe this year you should try Thanksgiving pizza. Pino's Pizza on Long Island is offering it.
Surpassed 12 million hits between Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Thanksgiving pie? That's all? Yeah, we're making it. It's a 40-minute wait.
But I've been trying to get down here for the last 4 days.
Customers from Lower Manhattan to Montauk.
A couple just told us the other day that they took the day off from work from Pennsylvania to come here and have the pizza.
It tastes like Thanksgiving on a pie.
CBS New York's Jennifer McLogan reports the pie comes with turkey, stuffing, gravy, and cranberry sauce. A bill that would ban children under 16 from social media is now before Australia's Senate.
With just one day to approve or deny all the new bills, the social media ban may not happen this year. This senator has already objected to it.
Government should not intervene into families' lives.
Time's running out for further debate. If successful, though, Australia would be the first in the world to introduce such a ban. Scott Maiman for CBS News Canberra, Australia.
A judge has denied Sean Diddy Combs' latest bail request, saying he's a serious risk of witness tampering. The hip-hop star's lawyers had suggested a $50 million bail package. Diddy has pleaded not guilty to sex abuse charges. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback? In the cold, Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami. So how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach, Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies, light northwest winds of the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper teens. Now, that breeze will get a little gusty on Thanksgiving Day. Our clouds are not going anywhere. Highs in the upper 20s. For Thursday night, a few flurries. It's 24 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
A lot going on today. I like the clown get a circus, as Jeff Tiedrich says. We'll go over the opening acts in the Trump circus that's beginning. Also, authoritarian news. Winter is coming. What will the Warrior Board do? It looks like Trump is getting ready for retribution against our military. You know, Donald Trump, the guy who works for Vladimir Putin. And as Trump vows to ditch the Paris Agreement and regulations, the world gets warmer and more hazardous. In the third hour of our program, is Putin blackmailing Trump? And a crazy alert, do Republicans have a weird homoerotic fascination with Putin? Kind of appears that way. So starting out, I just want to start out with my op-ed today, my daily take over at HartmanReport.com, Betrayal of the American Dream, How Democrats Lost FDR's Middle Class. And the essence of this is that the big political divide in the United States used to be racial, that African-Americans and Hispanics and Native Americans typically voted for Democrats and white people typically voted for Republicans. Now, to a large extent, that still holds. But the Hispanic vote in particular has shifted. And, you know, I discussed this a couple days ago. You could say, well, you know, they're trying to say we want some of that white privilege. We're really not people of color, you know, et cetera. And, you know, I suppose, you know, you could make that argument. And I think there's something to be said for that. But I my larger sense of it, and this is what I wrote about today, is that we are moving out of a racial divide and into a class divide. Essentially, what we're seeing is the great split relative to the two political parties has to do with the middle class or not middle class. Those people in the middle class and those people who are the working poor have shifted, now not all together and not in vast majorities, but in large enough numbers that they're swinging elections based on class rather than race. And this is something that Democrats need to pay serious attention to, because this exact same shift is how Franklin Roosevelt won the presidency, got elected four times, reelected three times, by talking about class. You know, what he was saying, and I should probably write a whole nother op-ed about this, and you know, with lots of quotes from FDR in it. But what FDR was basically saying is, you know, we're going to take on the rich guys. We're going to take on he called them economic royalists. And he called them out, and he went after them. And if Democrats want to start winning elections again, they've got to convince working class people, whether they're white, Hispanic, black, whatever, you know, Native American, Asian, whatever it may be, but particularly Hispanics and whites, because that's where you're seeing this delinkage. They're going to have to convince working class people that they're on their side, that the Democratic Party is the party of the working class. I mean, it has been since 33, but Republicans successfully portrayed Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party. And this is a portrayal that has been going on since really since the advent of Rush Limbaugh and Fox News. I mean, this is all coming out of the right wing propaganda machine and the GOP, of course. The Democratic Party has become the party of the woke. It's become the party of the trans community or the gay community or black people or defund the police or DEI or, you know, all these things that average working people hear and go, well, that's not me. They're not reflecting my interests. And so what I'm suggesting, and I kind of built some backstory for it in the article today that I won't go into in great detail. But what I'm suggesting is that the Democratic Party needs to basically return to its FDR roots. I keep saying this in different ways, but it's time to go back to saying we are the party of the working class. We are the party of the majority of Americans. And that the needs of the working class are our primary interest. Yes, of course. We're going to defend racial minorities. Yes, of course, we're going to defend gender minorities. Yes, of course, we want to have, more diversity, more equity, more inclusion. Nothing wrong with that. But first and foremost, the main pitch, the area where the real focus of the work happens is the middle class. Now, ironically, for the last 3.5 years, or the last, well, I guess you could say almost 4 years now, that's what Joe Biden's been doing. And it's how Kamala Harris campaigned. She campaigned as the candidate of the working class. She had all these proposals for the working class from, you know, we're going to give you $25,000 to buy a house to, you know, we're going to raise the minimum wage. I mean, you know, it just went on. But the message never broke through. And or another way to put it would be that the message was overwhelmed by the right-wing but this massive right-wing media ecosystem propaganda machine and the billions of dollars that right-wing billionaires and big corporations threw into the election to saturate the airwaves with ads characterizing Kamala Harris as basically that her number one priority was being an advocate for trans migrants in jail, which was the most viewed ad, the most effective ad that they did. It was, basically it was Willie Horton. Willie Horton, of course, was an ad in which Michael Dukakis was characterized as being in favor of black murderers. This ad, which nobody has come up with a name for yet, which is why I keep saying it's kind of, you know, it's the trans version of Willie Horton. The attack was that Kamala Harris is a fan of trans people in jail. Which is, you know, about as popular as Willie Horton, tragically. But, you know, the simple reality is that most people don't even know a trans person. So it's, you don't even have the, oh, yeah, I know those folks kind of thing with working class people that you have with the gay community or with gay men or lesbians or with, Hispanics or black people. Everybody knows somebody in one of those categories. Most people don't have any contact with trans people. And the Republican Party exploited that mercilessly, as did Adolf Hitler in 1933. So anyway, what I'm saying is that the Democratic Party needs to be pounding on this. And throughout the next 4 years of the Trump presidency, or the Vance presidency, or whatever it turns out to be, the Musk presidency, we need to focus on it like a laser. Now, that said, we're learning about the new members of Trump's cabinet. This is really fascinating. One of the first was and the one who's getting probably the most attention is Pete Hegseth. Pete actually. I used to debate Pete. Now, this is years ago. This is like more than a decade ago. He was the head of a veterans organization that was funded by right-wing billionaires. He denied that he was funded by the Koch brothers for a long, long time until he got busted. Somebody released a telephone conversation between him and the Kochs talking about it. But originally, he was a never-Trumper back in 2017 and 2016. In fact, Will Davis wrote a book about him. And he was all in favor of the Bush Doctrine, of waterboarding, of torture, of the Iraq invasion. In fact, he continues to say the Iraq war is, you know, good thing. This is how you do wars. But then, and he was protecting his brand for a Senate run, writes Will Davis over on Twitter. But as it turned out, Pete had his third kid with his Fox and Friends producer, who he was having an affair with on his second wife. And that kind of destroyed his brand. But he says climate change theory only exists to expand government. He suggested that there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. He does not want women in combat. On Bush's torture regime, he said it's hard to argue with 8 years of safety since 9/11. On poverty in America, he joked that poor people have cell phones and internet access. Why should we be helping them? My words, not his. His exact words were, I mean, poverty here is saddled with a cell phone and internet access. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He was also a fanboy of Paul Ryan and once promised to cut Social Security and Medicare if he was elected. He wanted to privatize the Veterans Administration. This is the guy who's going to be our new Secretary of Defense. And he lied about working for the Koch brothers, as I said. So he also, once he did a segment on his TV show on Fox, where he went to Minneapolis's West Bank, there's a large Somali population there, black immigrants, and claimed it was a Sharia law no zone. Will Davis writes, that night, 10 feet from where he filmed it, Aaron Ruptar and I had drank beer and played bocce. He sent his kids to a fancy private religious school and is all in favor of slashing public school budgets. He's a supporter of ending the Affordable Care Act because, quote, we shouldn't be managing care. And he mocked outrage over Trump's family separation program. Yeah, here we go on more of the sob story. And he said the Iraq war is an example of what America got right and when we got it right. So this is the guy that Trump wants to be his Secretary of Defense. I think that of all the nominees so far, this may be the most controversial. But again, and Trump is asking the Senate to give him recess appointment powers. The Senate typically doesn't want to do that, because, hey, this is their prerogative, but we'll see. Also, Rick Scott just dropped out or got kicked out of the race for Senate leadership. That's a real interesting one. I'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
17 and a half minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
The Black Friday weekend sale begins this Friday at Boot Barn. Visit us in-store for savings on top quality pieces. Get $40 off cowboy boots for men and women, $50 off select exotic boots, save on outerwear, and enjoy buy one, get one free offers on select jeans and flannels. We're closed Thanksgiving Day to be with family, and we look forward to seeing you in-store during our Black Friday sale. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about a couple of things to keep in mind when you're between jobs or when money is scarce. Number one is a reminder that most of us are already tracking. As best you can, only use credit in emergencies. You know, like a medical emergency or when your only car breaks down. Try your best not to use them for everyday type expenses. That could cost you a lot more over time. Now, number two, if you know you're going to have a hard time paying your creditors, talk to them right away. You know, have those conversations before you fall behind on your bills. They might accept a partial payment. They might be willing to work out some other arrangement with you while you're in a tough spot. And yeah, nobody likes having those conversations, but it's better than the stress of avoiding creditors later. That's today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results. Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Okay, dog parents, listen to how sneaky this is. When you look at a dog food label and see ingredients like wheat and rice, you might assume it's just a small part of the recipe. But it's not. A lot of popular dog foods use a trick called fractionation. For example, if you looked at a dog food label and saw wheat as the first ingredient instead of meat, that might raise some red flags for you. Big dog food companies know this, so they split it up into different ingredients. So instead of a lot of wheat, which would push wheat to the top of the ingredient label, it gets listed as a little bit of wheat, wheat flour, wheat gluten. So it's easier to miss, and it looks like wheat isn't the main ingredient, when in reality, your dog's food could be packed with enough wheat to bake a loaf of bread. And bread is not in your dog's natural diet. That's why I love Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. The first four ingredients are premium turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. Blue and Chewy just go nuts for this food. I've never seen anything like it. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cotton Krispies. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
A house, a job, a place to call home. Our fathers and mothers worked their hands to the bone. Believed in a promise, never felt so alone. Now it's the betrayal of the American dream. What we once held high is unraveling at the seams. From the factories to the fields, we're losing ground. While the ones at the top, they just doubled down. The betrayal of the American dream. They've stolen the future, silenced the scream. Unions busted. Just kept low. Millionaires buying out what they don't even know. They talk about freedom, but it comes at a cost. And the soul of a nation is everything we've lost. This is the betrayal of the American dream. What we once held high is unraveling at
at the scenes from the classrooms to the coast.
Welcome back. It's the betrayal of the American dream. That's the title of today's op-ed over at HartmanReport.com. And of course, all the songs, by the way, are available at HartmanReport.com as well. So I started talking about the cabinet. Well, actually, where I left during the last break was Rick Scott. Rick Scott, there's basically three guys running to lead the Senate. It was John Thune of South or North Dakota, I forget which, John Cornyn of Texas, and these two guys have been working kind of collaboratively, Thune in particular, as Mitch McConnell's right-hand men. One of them is the whip. I don't recall the specific titles that they have, but they're like in the leadership at the Senate. And then there was Rick Scott. And Rick Scott is just this weird guy who, you know, when he ran a hospital chain in Florida, which made him a multi-hundred millionaire, apparently oversaw the largest Medicare fraud in the history of the United States, made him very, very rich. He used his own money to become the governor of Florida, then the senator from Florida, and now he wants to run the Senate. And he's while Thune and Cornyn were initially after January 6th very critical of Trump, and since then have kind of kept a little distance from Trump, although they try to be nice with him. Rick Scott is openly MAGA, you know, MAGA all the way. Yeah, yeah, Trump can do no wrong. And Rick Scott just got bounced out. They had apparently an initial vote, and so now it's down to Thune and Cornyn. Oh, John Thune was just elected. In fact, they just announced it. John Thune was just elected the Senate Majority Leader. So that may actually be good news for us. There may be some moderating influence in the Senate. We also have you've got Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, who are going to lead Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, which doesn't exist. You can't create, only Congress can create a department. I think this is Trump's way of marginalizing Elon Musk. In fact, we're hearing a lot of gossip out of Trump world that Elon Musk is like, he thinks he's gotten too big for his britches, basically. So we'll see where this goes. But I'm kind of skeptical that, well, we'll see. We'll see. Whether Trump is just throwing a bone to a guy who arguably was, you know, could have been the guy who was responsible for Trump being in the White House or not, and whether Musk is going to end up on the outside with Trump. Musk probably the whitest man in America. I mean, you know, how is this going to shake out? We'll see. I'll cover a little more of the cabinet on the other side of the break, and I'll pick up your calls.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
27 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Or is it? Family gatherings and holiday parties can be fun and are filled with holiday cheer and plenty of holiday goodies to eat. However, with a little more holiday goodies on our plates than usual, our health can take its toll. Luckily, we have Just Thrive Probiotic. It's the only clinically proven probiotic and antioxidant on the market. Unlike most probiotics, Just Thrive will keep your gut in balance during the busy holiday season and beyond. Give yourself the gift of health this year and kickstart your New Year routine early with Just Thrive. For a limited time, you can save 20% site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. Once again, go to justthrivehealth.com and use that promo code TOM for 20% off site-wide. That's justthrivehealth.com. And to save 20%, use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, justthrivehealth.com, promo code TOM.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
CBS News Brief. The Biden administration says three American citizens who were wrongly detained in China for years are being released.
We know that unidentified Chinese nationals currently in U.S. custody will be released in exchange for those prisoners.
CBS's Torian Small says the three had been held on drug or espionage charges. Thousands watched in New York City as crews inflated the balloons for tomorrow's Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
We saw some of our favorite movies. We saw Wednesday Addams. We saw the Toys R Us float. He said, "Mommy, the boat."
Parade goers can expect rain and heavy security. Rain and snow are challenging Thanksgiving travelers in the Midwest and Northeast. CBS's Chris Van Cleef.
AAA said the worst time to be on the roads was between 1 and 5. And certainly we found ourselves crawling down Interstate 95, not because of the weather, but because there were just so many other people on the roads.
Roads and airports will be even more crowded on Sunday. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, Glickin Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies, light northwest winds in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper teens. Now that breeze will get a little gusty on Thanksgiving Day. Our clouds are not going anywhere. Highs in the upper 20s. For Thursday night, a few flurries. It's 24 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. The
way sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
It's a race our choice, but we're still here. We'll find our voice. In Georgia, they call it the right to challenge.
Welcome back. Tom Harbin here with you. So continuing our authoritarian news, our authoritarianism alert. You know, I mentioned Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk with this new commission. This is interesting. Incoming Vice President J.D. Vance, this is from Social Security Works, has explicitly said that the Musk commission will target Social Security. And here we go. Last night, 172 House Republicans voted for a bill that would reduce the Social Security benefits of 14 million American workers, including public school teachers, firefighters, and police officers. Due to the opposition of Democrats and a small number of Republicans, it did not pass. However, nearly 80% of House Republicans have already broken Trump's promise to protect Social Security. So, number one. Number two, Ramaswamy Musk Commission or whatever it's going to be, department, expect more pollution, more drilling, more theft of public lands, you know, the gutting of our federal government. I mean, it's just going to be a mess. Also, John Thune was just elected as the Senate Majority Leader. Thune has called for taking the debt limit hostage to force cuts to Social Security. That wasn't good enough for Trump's allies who backed Rick Scott, who famously said that he wants Social Security and Medicare to both sunset within 5 years. So with Scott, we kind of dodged a bullet, but who knows? But back to Donnie Convict's nominees. I mentioned Pete Hegseth. Who, as I said, has debated me on this program. Last time was in 2016. He was on the program back in 2012, too. Trump has also announced that Stephen Witkoff will be his special envoy to the Middle East. Who is Stephen Witkoff? Well, keep in mind, Jared Kushner said that Gaza's waterfront property could be very valuable. This might cause you to say, well, what does that have to do with Witkoff? Well, Stephen Witkoff is a real estate investor. Right. By the way, some good news on the authoritarian front. Yesterday, House Resolution 9495, which we talked about. In fact, we had a guest on the program yesterday about where I was specifically asking people to call their representatives and say no, vote no on this. It got voted down, although bizarrely, 52 Democrats voted for it. This was a bill that would have given Donald Trump the power to say, oh, the ACLU, they're a terrorist supporting organization. We're going to take away their tax-exempt status. So, you know, wild stuff. Jack Smith is closing up shop. Well, you know, I'll get to that stuff in the next hour. There is more. But let's pick up your calls here and see what's on your mind today. John in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Tom. I kind of got about 5 bullet points I just wanted to kind of share out to you, and if you have any feedback, I would love to hear it. But I don't feel angry. I feel sad, and I don't understand why the United States is pretty much like a turtle on its back, not doing anything about one guy who has collateral damage. That's how I feel. Well, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, John. I think you can't underestimate, though, the power of $7 or $8 billion thrown into an election by 150 right-wing billionaires and a multi-billion-dollar multimedia right-wing propaganda machine. These two things together have essentially taken over America, in large part because Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act, because Reagan stopped, regulating the, ended the Fairness Doctrine, and because the Supreme Court legalized the bribery of public officials.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Kind of continue, we are not the country of law and order. That's very clear. And, what's your intake? Do you think these high-end generals are going to stick their promise, which is we don't bow to your king, our job is to support the U.S. Constitution, or are they going to cave in too?
Well, they won't have any choice. The commander-in-chief has the power to remove anybody from the U.S. military unilaterally. He can just say, you're gone. And boom, they're bounced out of the military. Their retirement begins at whatever their pay grade is, and that's the end of that.
Okay, but isn't that better than wiping out democracy? And I mean, again, I might be wrong, but I mean, the whole purpose of a military in each country is to protect and serve the country and the people of that country. And I don't see that happening at all with the United States.
Yeah, well, you said the purpose of the military in any country. That's where you got it wrong, John. The purpose of the military in autocracies, in authoritarian states, is to do what dear leader wants. And that's the purpose of the military in Hungary. That's the purpose of the military in the Philippines. That's the purpose of the military in Russia. That's the purpose of the military in probably more than half the countries of the world. And what you're describing is the purpose of the military in democracies. And we're on the edge of no longer being a democracy. In fact, I would say we've already transitioned into oligarchy. So, we've got an oligarch in the White House. He's surrounding himself with people who will suck up to him. Last time his cabinet was made up mostly of billionaires, remember? This time he's not putting billionaires in his cabinet. He's putting loyal suck-ups in because the billionaires are willing to talk back to him. He doesn't want that anymore. So,
And, dude, does the Republican Party not understand that their horrible failed policies will affect their family members and their neighbors and their loved ones? I mean, I don't understand the mindset. And then I was also wanted to say, I think we need to eliminate 9/11 because the most damaging thing that ever took place in this country was January 6th because that was committed by our own people.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. And at the leadership level, the Republicans, no, they don't. They're not thinking it. Well, they are thinking about their own family and their own future because they're getting rich. You've got, now that the Supreme Court has legalized the bribery of public officials, basically, if you get elected to the House or the Senate or appointed to a cabinet position by Trump as a Republican, You will end up rich. They will figure out a way to make sure that you have a pile of money. And that's what's going on. John, thank you for the call. Mike in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Well, it's not all doom and gloom. I've been listening to your rants. But I wanted to discuss, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the command authority. Many people have the misconception that the chairman is in the chain of command with the president. He is not. He is the senior advisor to the president, which in effect kind of makes him the senior military officer in our military.
Correct.
But the real authority is from the president to the secretary of defense and then to the combatant commanders. I cannot see this Pete fella telling four-star admirals and generals how to fight a war. And that is dangerous because that will cause all kind of confusion in the lower ranks.
Yeah.
This guy has no idea. I mean, Tom, you understand that these commanders have devoted their lives in studying war in the senior service colleges. Where is this guy coming from? My brother served as a special forces officer in Cambodia. And he had two bronze medals, but that doesn't qualify him to be the Secretary of Defense.
Right. Yeah, Pete served in both Afghanistan and Iraq, and that's not nothing. But, I think you're right. He has no experience running a large organization, and the Department of Defense is the largest organization in America. I don't believe he was a flag officer. In fact, I'm certain he wasn't. I don't know what rank he achieved before he retired. You know, this is literally an example of Donald Trump watching Fox News and going, that guy, he's right out of central casting. Look at that square jaw. Look at those tattoos on his arms. He's got We the People tattooed on his arm. Yeah, that's that guy. He's the, you know, I mean, he selected last time around, he selected General Mattis simply because his nickname was Mad Dog. He's like, yeah, Mad Dog, that's a good, you know. So I'm with you, Mike, and I think what we're seeing here is again, this is what authoritarians do. They demand loyalty. They look for people who are loyal to them, not the people who are competent, not the people who will do a good job, not the people who have experience, not the people who have a demonstrated track record, not the people who care about the agencies that they're going to be running, you know, not the people who have any background in those areas, not the people who even have, you know, any history with those areas, although, like I said, Hegseth, you know, is a veteran. But, you know, they look for people who will suck up to them, who will kiss their asses. And that, every single person Trump has nominated so far has been a complete ass kisser. And Rick Scott was running to be one. We'll see what John Thune does. But, yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you. Thank you very much for the call. It's 45 minutes past the hour. I'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I'll be right back with more of your calls in just a moment.
Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right. We're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill, plus get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour. Here's one last addition to our authoritarianism alert. Mike Huckabee, the notorious right-wing preacher who, you know, basically spits on Jesus every opportunity he has now the U.S. ambassador to Israel, or will be, you know, is proposed. And he has said there is no such thing as a Palestinian. And he said this on multiple occasions. And he said that basically the designation of Palestinian is just a way to steal land from Israel. Not good. Right. Very much not good. And this, and, you know, and I would say to all the Muslims in Michigan who voted for Jill Stein because they weren't willing to vote for Kamala Harris, good luck. Good luck with that. Terry in Irvine, Texas. Hey, Terry, what's up?
Hello. I've got a question. So I basically am wondering, as far as Democrats changing the messaging in order to speak more to class as opposed to race or other identities. Could this be a matter of basically in campaigning, speaking to people as far as the plans of economic progressivism and things like that? And not really speaking about plans as far as other progressive things, like things more socially oriented. And I guess I'm wondering, is it a matter of doing those things as far as the social things and not necessarily campaigning on it in order to focus the message on economic issues?
Right. The way that you wage class warfare is by defining and attacking an enemy. And Biden and Harris did not do that in the election. I mean, you know, they certainly defined Trump as an enemy to democracy, but they did not define the billionaires who support Trump as enemies of the United States or enemies of working class people. Let's put it that way, because I think that's actually an accurate designation. You know, Donald Trump on his famous Twitter thing with Elon Musk, congratulating Musk on busting unions and refusing, you know, firing people who want to start a union in one of Musk's companies, those kind of things. Franklin Roosevelt used to call him out. He used to, these economic royalists, you know, he called them economic royalists. He came up with a name for them. In the late 1800s, during the first Gilded Age, 1880 to 1900, they were referred to as robber barons. And, you know, I think that if the Democrats want to really start winning elections, they're going to have to go back to that kind of language. And many of them are afraid to do so because there are some billionaires who are, you know, helping out Democrats. And they don't want to piss them off. But I think that there's got to be a way to do it, to specifically attack the conservative billionaires who have created the media infrastructure, the think tank infrastructure, the campaign financing infrastructure, and identify them as economic royalists or as robber barons or whatever the appropriate phrase would be for the 21st century here. We need to come up with a new phrase to a new way of identifying them. What do you think?
I just wonder, because of the fact that you have so many establishment Democrats that are receiving campaign funds from billionaires, are they ever really going to do that?
Well, I think it's moving in the right direction. You know, the Progressive Caucus is not taking money from PACs, and that's how most billionaires funnel their money. So I want to see class warfare. We'll see. Terry, thank you for the call. Ricardo in Syracuse, New York. Hey, Ricardo, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
The truck driver. Okay, yeah. I want to go and say the only thing I can hope is that in the recon, she comes back and win.
Ain't
if
gonna
not,
happen.
Everybody's going to be. No, I know. This wishful thinking.
Yeah.
All right, okay, I have. I was born in Puerto Rico and raised in Puerto Rico. I have a lot of Hispanic friends. Some of them are from Puerto Rico. Some of them are from Cuba. Some of them are from Venezuela.
Sure.
They are very ignorant, to put it in a nice place.
Well,
first,
so are
they
most
listen
white people,
to
Ricardo.
A lot of. They listen to a lot of the Cuban right-wing talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they listen to Joe Rogan. They watch Fox News. They don't. If you tell them, look, this is not what they are doing, you know, I will send them information that Kamala Harris, what she was wanting to do with the Hispanic community and us, low income, you know, the middle class, which is we are disappearing. And they literally tell me, but that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, it's not. That's the truth. That's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
But at the end, this is what it is. They cannot control a wife or a girlfriend, and they need someone like the government to control that woman for them. They say they're men, but they're very weak men. Because if you are afraid of an equal wife or an equal girlfriend, it's because you're weak.
So you think it's the macho aspect of Hispanic culture that is running these things?
Yes, and then they literally complained that she was a woman and she was a woman of color.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys are dumb. You guys voting for a sex offender, a guy that literally tried to steal the election. You guys talk about Benghazi, but Benghazi was in here. And then you told me that those guys were patriots. I said, dude, you guys are dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, Ricardo, that and again, now there's even a Spanish language right wing infrastructure. You know, there's I think about 300 now right wing Spanish language stations around the country.
And I tell my wife I don't want to do anything with them. They can go and do whatever. And,
yeah.
And I don't want them around me.
Okay, Ricardo, thank you very much for the call. And spot on. It's great to hear from people, you know, who are sharing their perspectives. One of the Fox News hosts, you know, Jesse Waters, was making this joke about his mother disinvited him for Thanksgiving. Should we disinvite our Trump-supporting relatives? I'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people to
call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we get a sneak peek at the Hawktua Girls' new reality show. And I welcome Discover Wisconsin host Andrea Belke and from National Lampoon, Jamie Kaler and Jeff Tully.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.